It's Thursday, April 18th. I'm Priyanka Arabindi.
And I'm Juanita Tolliver, and this is What a Day, the pod where we have a new thing to worry about falling out of the sky. Space junk. NASA confirmed that the object that tore through a Naples, Florida man's home was debris from the space station.
It had been floating around up there for 3 years.
Absolutely, the federal government is remodeling my home if this happens to me.
Yeah, I'm getting a farmhouse sink out of it. I don't know about you. On today's show, Columbia University's president was on the Hill for a hearing related to anti-Semitism on the university's campus. Plus, Iran warns Israel of a massive response if it acts after last week's attack.
But first, the Senate moved quickly to dismiss two articles of impeachment against Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas on Wednesday. The whole trial, if you can call it that, lasted about 3 hours. Here's Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer speaking at a press conference after.
What we saw today was a microcosm of this impeachment since day one. Hallowed, frivolous, political. And we felt very strongly that we had to set a precedent that impeachment should never be used to settle policy disagreements.
It was an anticlimactic end to House Republicans' long-shot bid to oust Mayorkas. You'll remember they had to vote twice on his impeachment in February. The first one failed because too many Republicans defected. Now it's all over, and Mayorkas keeps his job.
Yes, which, I mean, should have been the case from the beginning. We did not need to go down this whole sideshow.
Nope.
But here we are. I wish Chuck Schumer had added unserious to his remarks there. Just add it to the list, because that is what this was. But anyways, Juanita, can you explain how this all went down for us?
Well, on Tuesday, Johnson and other House Republicans officially walked over the two articles of impeachment against Mayorkas to the Senate. Congressional reporter Matt Laszlo was there. He's a contributor for Wired and has been reporting on the Hill for nearly two decades. He says despite the somber nature of the proceeding, everyone, even Republicans, knew that there was almost no chance that the democratically controlled Senate would allow the impeachment proceeding to continue.
This was nothing Republicans kept clinging to it as like, look, this is some action on the border. But even them, when you pressed a little harder, they knew this was nothing and going nowhere.
Laszlo says, if anything, the whole impeachment process was more about the 2024 election and scoring political points.
Absolutely, as has been very clear to many of us on this program for this whole time. But I'm curious about the reaction from the House Republicans. This would seem to be yet another embarrassing defeat for Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson, whose job looks to be increasingly on the rocks these days, thanks to the party's hard right. But what's the vibe over there?
Well, at least according to Laszlo, just the photo op of walking the articles of impeachment to the Senate was enough for some House Republicans. And he says that speaks to the ways impeachment has become increasingly obsolete.
These lawmakers, they don't really believe what they're doing. They're just looking to dunk on TV every chance they can get. And watching Fox News today, after the impeachment went down of Mayorkas, they're not really covering it. They will on some of the primetime shows or whatever, but Republicans didn't take this serious. They saw it as an in. They saw it as a way to take a chink off of Biden's armor. And that's where it's sad, because impeachment is supposed to be the tool of last resort.
Laszlo says the question these days is,
is Congress serious? Does Congress matter? And I think they keep proving to themselves and the rest of us that they themselves are becoming as obsolete as these tools that they keep using.
Yeah, thank you, Matt, for just underscoring this point. Tools that they keep using and abusing, quite honestly. And this is not the last that we are going to hear about impeachment from this Congress either. You know, they are not going to let this rest. House Republicans still seem pretty determined to find a way to impeach President Joe Biden before the election, even if they have zero reasons as of now to do it.
Zero reasons, zero evidence. That's exactly right. On Tuesday, the White House declined an invitation from the House Oversight Committee to testify in its impeachment inquiry hearing. In a letter obtained by CNN, the special counsel for the president wrote that Biden had, quote, done nothing wrong, and accused the committee's chair, James Comer of Kentucky, of spreading disinformation. And you'll remember, too, that the Republicans' star witness in their investigation into Biden and his family, an ex-FBI informant, has been arrested and charged for fabricating a bribery scheme involving the Bidens. But that's not stopping Republicans. Comer told Fox News on Wednesday that impeachment is still on the table and that criminal referrals could come, quote, within weeks. And that led to this testy exchange during Wednesday's oversight committee between Comer and the ranking Democrat, Maryland's Jamie Raskin.
You have not identified a single crime. Well, what is the crime that you want to impeach Joe Biden for and keep this nonsense going? Tell America right now.
You're about to find out. What is the crime?
I hate that Congress sounds like an episode of The Real Housewives, but I also am like, Jamie Raskin made it plain. Just tell everybody what your evidence is. They don't have any.
They have none.
And according to Laszlo, Comer even told him he knows there's nothing there when it comes to Biden, that it's more about vengeance for the second impeachment of former President Donald Trump after the insurrection.
I pushed him, you know, way at the start of the impeachment of Biden. And I got him to admit that, yeah, because they went after Trump for that second impeachment, that's the reason we, as a Republican Party, have to carry through on our end.
Laszlo says he was at the Capitol that day on January 6th. He still says he can't understand how Republicans seem to have just moved past it. We'll keep following this story as Republicans continue their unfounded impeachment effort against President Biden, but that's the latest for now. We'll be back after some ads.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's wrap up with some headlines.
Headlines.
Tensions appear to be growing in the Middle East amid fears of a regional war. Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi on Wednesday warned Israel that even the, quote, tiniest invasion on their part would provoke a, quote, massive response. This comes after Iran attacked Israel over the weekend, launching hundreds of missiles and drones on Tel Aviv. The attack was in retaliation for Israel's initial attack on an Iranian embassy in Syria earlier this month. Israel's military chief seemed unbothered by Raisi's remarks, saying that Israel will respond to the attack, but he stopped short of providing any details on how or when that would happen. Also on Wednesday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with officials from Germany and Britain. They are two of several Israeli allies urging Netanyahu to de-escalate the situation. According to the Associated Press, Netanyahu told his cabinet, quote, "We will make our decisions ourselves. The state of Israel will do whatever is necessary to defend itself." Meanwhile, the suffering of hundreds of thousands of people in Gaza continues. The UN Children's Fund, or UNICEF, released a report this week saying that more than 13,000 children have been killed in Gaza since October 7th.
It's possible that Joe Biden will not appear on ballots this November in the crucial state of Ohio. At issue is a technicality in Ohio law that says a candidate has to be certified 90 days before the election. Doing the math, that's August 7th. But Biden won't be officially certified until August 19th during the Democratic National Convention. Last week, a Democratic elections attorney in Ohio proposed to officials that Biden be provisionally certified before the deadline. But on Monday, that idea was shot down by Ohio's Republican Attorney General in a letter to the Secretary of State. Democrats still have a few options to make sure President Biden is on the ballot in the state. One option, sue. The other, hope that the Republican-controlled legislature passes an exemption. They actually did in 2020 when both Democrats and Republicans had their conventions too late for the candidates to be officially certified in time. Meanwhile, the president faces the same issue in Washington State and Alabama. Washington's Secretary of State said last week that they'll accept a provisional certification, while Alabama lawmakers advanced a bill Wednesday to make sure Biden can be on their state's ballot.
Even Alabama is letting him
come on.
Stay. So this is pretty diabolical by Ohio. But at this point, we have to know we are dealing with the worst people. Like, we got to be ahead of this, everybody. We got to look at the books beforehand. We got to know the rules. Arizona Republicans defeated another effort to repeal the state's near-total abortion ban. The draconian 1864 law was revived last week after a ruling by the state Supreme Court. And on Wednesday, Democratic State Representative Stephanie Stahl Hamilton tried to fast-track her bill to repeal it. But Republican leaders in the state House shut down her motion. That led to a round of applause by anti-abortion activists who packed the audience, as posted on X by the DNC.
Talk about diabolical, though. Like, wow.
Just sick people. This was the second attempt by Arizona Dems to repeal the law, and it will not be the last. Democratic State Representative Lupe Contreras told the Arizona Republic newspaper, quote, "This is not going away. We'll bring it back to the floor again."
Columbia University's president Manoush Shafiq sat in front of a U.S. congressional committee on Wednesday and strongly condemned antisemitism. It's the latest round of antisemitism hearings where lawmakers question presidents of some of the country's most prestigious universities. House lawmakers accused Shafiq of failing to protect Jewish students since the October 7th attacks in Israel. Shafiq defended the university's efforts to protect its students and agreed that the school was facing a, quote, moral crisis.
Columbia strives to be a community free of discrimination and hate in all its forms, and we condemn the anti-Semitism that is so pervasive today.
Meanwhile, dozens of students staged an encampment on Columbia's campus to signal solidarity for Palestinians in Gaza. Take a listen to one of the students on campus who spoke with the news outlet Middle East Eye.
As the genocide only gets worse, so too is the erosion of democracy across the country and on college campuses. And this has a violent effect. In fact, we saw the arrest of students at Vanderbilt. We are probably going to be arrested shortly here today at Columbia University.
And on the other side of the country, students at the University of Southern California protested their university's decision this week to ban its 2024 valedictorian, Asna Tabassum, from speaking at this year's graduation ceremony. Tabassum is a first-generation South Asian Muslim student who minored in resistance to genocide. She told the LA Times, quote, "The university has betrayed me and caved in to a campaign of hatred."
And finally, for the first time in 70 years, the NBA announced Wednesday that it is banning a player for life. Jontay Porter, a power forward for the Toronto Raptors, illegally participated in gambling on his own games. A league investigation found that he bet on NBA games while playing in one of the minor leagues. Porter also shared confidential information with bettors and intentionally limited his participation in games. For example, he claimed to suffer from an illness during a game and only played for 3 minutes, which is so crazy.
Just wild.
It is just the latest in a string of controversies surrounding sports betting and its effect on professional leagues. As a reminder, NBA players are not allowed to make wagers on NBA games. It is like the oldest rule in the book for these sports leagues. Come on.
It feels like a pretty basic rule, but also I'm looking at Mr. Porter. Like, why would you like fake injuries 3 minutes into a game? Like, find a better bet if you're going to do this that actually is about increasing your stats. Like, I don't know.
That's like the definition of not betting on yourself, which I don't think is what we should aspire to. And those are the headlines.
One more thing before we go. This week marks the national holiday 420, so we know you'll be looking for a good laugh. Tune in to Terminally Online to hear your dream blunt rotation of crooked hosts and staffers, including What a Day's own Travell Anderson, Jon Favreau, and producers Caroline Reston and Caroline Dunphy. This week, the roundtable is covering all things Beehive, JoJo Siwa, and the now TikTok famous guy who ghosted his own wife. To get access to this exclusive series and get unexpectedly sore abs, head to crooked.com/friends to sign up.
That is all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, get a better party planner for the Democrats, and tell your friends to listen.
And if you're into reading and not just about Jonte Porter's stats like me, What a Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Juanita Tolliver.
I'm Priyanka Arabindi.
And watch out for space, junk. Oh my God.
Yeah. Cover those heads, everybody. You never know.
I'm a very jumpy girl anyway, but if some shit comes crashing through my upstairs into my dad, I'm freaking out. I'm like losing my mind. So I don't know. How would you react?
If the fates have it out for you that bad, like what have you done? What kind of karma is coming to you? I just want to know what you did.
Okay, Final Destination.
What a Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Bill Lance. Our associate producers are Raven Yamamoto and Natalie Bettendorf. We had production help today from Leo Duran, Greg Walters, and Julia Clare. Our showrunner is Erica Morrison, and our executive producer is Adrian Hill. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.